It's almost midnight somewhere in this world we call home. There's just enough time for some more stories. Some stories before 12, just to keep us warm. Haunted history, urban legends, ghost towns, and more. Next stop, the Pop of Zero podcast.
Welcome to the Pop of Zero podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm joined today. I guess we got a full house with only four cards, so the whole group's here today. Dad joke. We got Rob.
Hello.
Joey.
Hello.
And then Mr. Dave Sterling's here with us today.
Good morning.
And we're going to kind of do a podcast that we've kind of done a structure of it before. It's a video that's on YouTube right now, and I think it's like a 4 or 5 year old video, and it's about Minnie Quay. So we're going to kind of pull the curtain back and show you guys what we did, what we didn't do, what we found. And like I said, just a little deep dive into it. So Rob's been up there a couple times. So yeah. We're just going to go from there. I started doing this video, being on the internet, snooping around with different Michigan stuff, and I fell upon this legend on the Thumb side of the state, which, if you guys aren't from Michigan, it's on the east side. And started poking around, and I emailed, it actually has a Facebook page, so I emailed the moderator, and she emailed me back and actually wrote a book. And she was nice enough for us to... the book is about Minnie Quay, but it's a loose interpretation of it. She kind of found out her history and kind of filled in the blanks of nobody knows. So what do you think about that legend, Rob?
One thing I like about this one is that there is... you can go back to period newspapers and find articles on her committing suicide. Mm-hmm. So it is based in reality. It's not your typical lover goes away, think they're dead, kill themselves. Some of those ones we've investigated before.
And debunked. But yeah, this one, we actually, when we were there, somebody actually had her death certificate. And we took a picture of it. And it's pretty neat. Well, anyways, so we decided to do it. We contacted the author. Her name was Denise Dutcher, and you guys don't get a chance. You can buy the book. It's on Amazon still, I believe. And we went up there. Actually, it was on pure coincidence on her anniversary of her death. All you paranormal people will think that it's a hot spot, and it was. I think this is one of the first times I caught something on film. And like I've said 100 times before, we're not Ghostbusters, but we actually found two things on film that is on the video. So go check it out. But you want to kind of devolve into a little history of it?
The people up in the, along the lakes didn't really care for sailors. When they came, they pretty much thought they were debaucherous and all that. And Minnie Quay happened to fall for a sailor, and her parents said, no, you can't marry him, can't marry him. But she kept meeting him. He went off. They said his ship sunk.
Yep.
And she was so distraught that one day she put on a white dress, left her brother at the house.
He was like 3 or 4?
Yeah. Started walking down to the pier. Passed one house, waved at the family like nothing's wrong. The pier was, 900 feet long?
Yeah, it was long.
People seen her. Then they seen her jump into the water. It took over an hour to find the body with grappling hooks.
Yep. Yeah, and we talk about that all through the video and stuff. And like Denise said in the video, just imagine her jumping in the water. It was April, just getting unthawed water, and her jumping in, she would have died almost instantly because of the shock of the cold water.
Our church camp used to be actually few, just a few miles south of that area. And we'd go in June, late June, July, and that water was still cold then.
Did you hear about her back then?
Never heard about her back then, but...
Yeah, the whole town claims that she haunts it. And I got a hold of the Forester Inn, and they were kind enough to let us have one of the parts of their restaurant as home base. And we sat up there and met Denise and then went on our rounds. And what was cool about it was this is before TikTok and everybody on their phone shooting videos. So when we came up with that equipment, the people that did come in to eat thought there was something big to do, you know, even though we're YouTube hacks, basically. And we set up, and between takes, people would come and talk to us. And this one lady actually had a story about the Mini Quay ghost. So she was kind enough to tell it, but she did not want to be on camera. So what we did, like what we usually do when you find quotes and everything, I got her permission. I got all the legal ramifications out of the way, and I recorded her testimony. And it was really good. I wish she would have let us film her, because she did a very passionate, believable story. And then after we got home and everything, I put that interview aside, and then we hired an actress to portray her. But yeah, the Forester Inn, the owners are still real skeptical of, not skeptical, but they're real, they don't want to piss Manny off. They're very adamant about that, you know, that they didn't want no part of it, and made her actually hear that they didn't want no part of it. And then one of the waitresses came up, same thing, didn't want to be interviewed but wanted to tell a story. So we did the same thing with her. And then we found a couple other testimonies online. Mm-hmm. So we had to hire, I think, 3 or 4 actors to portray those people. But, it was a really good story. Went together really well, and I didn't know at the time that actually Dead Files, I think, did a story on them or something like that. One of the ghost hunting things actually did a story on Mini Quay, and they totally did. I was wondering what Denise, when we interviewed her, she was very bitter about, she was on that show. And she was very bitter on how they portrayed Minnie, almost like it was her only child. You know, she was that passionate about how they portrayed her. So, and another thing, I might as well get this out of the way. It's been on my mind. She, after we got done filming, we sent her a thank you note and the video, and we didn't hear nothing more on her. So we might have offended her on how we portrayed her, but we told her exactly what we were and everything. I don't know if she thought she was going to become rich or whatnot, but she was a very kind lady. And you guys go watch a video. We went to all 4 different spots and everything.
Originally, weren't you going to debut it up there? And then
yeah,
something fell apart, or people had a change of mind because of reputation or...
Yep.
Something like that.
Yeah, they didn't want any outsiders, basically.
I wasn't involved in this project, so I don't...
Yeah, they. We had everything all set up, and then it got shut down. They had we're going to set up a table. They have different events and stuff like that, and we contacted them and told them, and another reason we wanted to do it is because... There's a couple people that helped us out, literally helped us out. One of the gentlemen let us into the house that was actually, at one point, if you guys don't know about the Purple Gang, was a Purple Gang house. and showed us all around, and we could have done a video on that house. It was so fascinating. There was a room, and I happened to look down, and there's a like a two pieces of wood going by, and probably about a half to a quarter inch space. And then I looked up, and there's the same like basically furring strips. And I asked the guy, I said, what is this? And he said, what happens is when the sailors come into town, they would have women behind this glass, and they would, if they wanted, they would put money in, and the curtains would open up, and they'd have a little peep show. Huh. And that was actually built in the house for that. So everybody says that was, I guess, that generation's Pornhub or something. I don't know.
It was a design feature.
Right. And he actually had, if you guys ever seen an old World War II movie about JFK, it's PT-109. He actually had one of the PT boats. And if you go on the video and watch, it was an actual model for the movie he actually got on there and tried to get it from him, trying to bite off him, and he was having no part of that. But super nice guy. He owned that house, and then he actually owned Minnie Quay. When she died, the parents sold the house and moved across the street from where that house, the mansion was, basically. And I guess after they died, nobody bought it, and it got ran down, and we took some pictures in it because he owned that house too. So we got some really creepy pictures in there. I didn't go into it. I had too much going on, but I brought two photographers with me, and I had an AD, Tom. I wish he'd be with us today, but he was busy. They went inside and got some really good pictures.
And that house is no longer there.
Yeah, they demolished it.
Demolished it a year ago.
Yeah, I think he was trying to sell it, and what he told us, he was trying to sell it, and nobody wanted it, so he might have just...
This was Minnie Quay's home?
No.
No.
Her parents' home.
Her parents' home. There's probably still shards of wood listed on eBay, though.
Right.
When they demoed it.
Well, the thing is, they don't actually know where she lived. There's no records of where the Quays lived. Concrete evidence, but Denise kind of did a lot of homework and figured out what home was Minnie Quay's.
And watching the video, when you were in the house, there actually was two things that happened in the house. When you, on the second take where they were, the door opened.
Yep. Yeah, that happened. We were filming, and Ella, I almost said her real name. This girl goes by Ella. She's an actor, and she was doing a really good job and just stopped. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And she's like, I'm sorry, the door opened. And it literally opened on itself. And a couple people wanted me to reenact the door opening, and I'm like, no, that'd be too cheesy. That'd be the cheese factor, because I got the motion of Ella, and then the two photographers that were in the background,
right,
had the reaction, and I couldn't have reenacted that. The cheese factor would have went to like 15, I think.
Yep. Then right after that, after take three, you can hear like a grunt.
That was
a dog?
No, that was a dog.
Okay.
The grunting you're talking about was at the gravesite.
No, there was a... But after that grunt, there was a sound that sounded like something being dragged across the floor.
Yeah, that was a dog.
That was all dog?
Yeah, okay. And the dog... the guy had a dog there, and the dog was blind. And we set up a bunch of equipment and everything, and... trying to do an interview, and then with a dog blind or blind dog running around. It was a feat. But yeah, it was really windy that day. We had precautions. We had foam on our external mics and a dead cat, and we didn't get no wind at all, so we were very.
You might want to explain the dead cat.
Oh yeah,
that's a term.
A dead cat is a piece of, I guess, fabric. You'd say.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Can you explain, Joey, a little better?
It's anything used to cover up like the length of a shotgun mic. But I've heard dead cat before. You're not totally wrong on that. Yeah. But it's not a dead. It's not an animal. You don't put an animal over the mic. It's not.
No, especially dead. It gets smelly quickly. But we were going around interviewing, and you could see in the background, I didn't do a hard focus. I did all soft focuses, so we could see the background. The waves were crashing, and the trees were actually moving back and forth. And it started raining and spitting at us towards the end. And then we went to the grave. And what Rob was talking about, we interviewed the wrap-up at the Mini Quay's grave. And if you guys are into paranormal, you need to go out there. The grave at first was just a regular grave and an actual or grave marker, and it actually cracked one time. Right. And lore says you need to get rid of that and put a new one on because the cracked gravestone would have the soul escape. So I heard about that. I read about that. So I had our friend Dave draw a really creepy picture of a ghost coming out of a cracked gravestone. But people go there constantly. They leave a bunch of trinkets and money, and we asked about it in the interview about it, and Denise said that you leave that there so she don't follow it home. Well, me being a natural smart aleck, we did a take of me holding up a quarter, and I'm like, I'm not going to risk it. And I set it there and left because we're hungry and cold. We're going back to eat, and everything happened. We did everything, wrapped up, went home. I started listening to audio, and the audio was immaculate. I was so happy with the audio. And then I got to the grave site one, and then that part of the video, you heard grunting. Right. And I literally, hairs stuck up. Every single hair, which I'm a very hairy person, every single hair stood up on me. It just freaked me out. And so I decided to keep that in and show people on the video with that. And I have a friend named Steve. He's a professor out of University of Wisconsin, and sent it to him. And he can't figure it out. He says it's pure organic is what he called it. There's no tampering in it or anything like that. And it's unexplainable. I nobody knows what it is, but I'm glad I left that quarter there. if that's the case. But that around here, that Mini Quay is very. If you go into Forester, everybody knows about Mini Quay. Like I said, for the Forester Inn. All the waitresses that we talked to, every single one of them said they had something happen to them. They can't explain. And then, like I said, the lady that was actually eating there had a story. So it's like Mini Quay's like the Bob Seger of Forester, that anybody that lives up there knows about her. Right. And it's a really good story.
Yep. So with the graveyard, I remember I went up there, was it this spring?
Yep.
With a spirit box and brand new battery, brand new in my camera. and everything hooked up fine before. As soon as I went to the graveyard, sat everything up. I had problems with the speaker. Had problem. The camera didn't record at all. And it was a brand new battery. And I set it up. And the box was going nuts. You couldn't really make out too much of what it said. But it was almost like a growl type thing through it.
Yeah, and we were, none of that stuff happened to us. I know a couple of people went up there and tell them about what the deal is with the batteries.
That the spirit will drain the batteries so they can manifest.
So, yeah, that's happened to me before, but not up there, thank God. But I come prepared. I got a transformer where I can plug into my car and charge it. So, but yeah, I only went through one battery the whole day. So she didn't want to be manifest except the door and the grunting. I guess that you don't need yeah. much for
well,
that.
Well, it's more like mine when it was shutting the camera down.
Right. Well, actually, one of our followers, Lee, went up there and actually sent us He was up at the gravesite and actually sent a YouTube short on when he was up there. He heard voices and stuff, supposedly. I wasn't up there, but I have my own recollection of what I think what happened, but we'll just leave that.
Yep. Now, the remnants of the pier that's up there?
Yep.
Is that supposedly the actual
pier? Yep, that is really? The actual pier.
But it's on private land now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, Denise is a kayaker, and she says when she when she goes over that in her kayak, she says she feels an eerie feeling because the pylons are still there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's actually, in Forrester, I think there was two piers.
So unless there's a drop-off, I was just looking at USGS topo map. And in that area, it's only like 2 to 3 feet deep.
Yeah, that's why it was 900 feet.
900 feet.
Yeah, it went 900 feet out.
Huh. Yeah, you back like where our church camp was, and when you went out, you could walk almost a quarter mile, and it was chest deep.
And they might have did like digging or something. I don't know. I wasn't back then.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
But yeah, it was... I went up there a couple times as a teenager in Port Austin. And same thing, it's very, very shallow and warm up there in the summertime. Well, I think that's about it for that segment. So I want to thank you guys for emailing us and telling us what you want. And you got this segment. So I guess next time, take care and God bless.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Have a good one. Thank you.